Grateful compulsive overeater. I almost said in your secretary for today. No. So I never know what I'm going to say, but I don't know, the last couple of days I've been writing down a few thoughts, so I guess some of them will get incorporated into this. I really am an old timer. I really am. I came into this program, and it's funny, I was thinking there would be more newcomers today, so I was going to address more to the newcomer, but since you're, I'll just be more general. But anyway, all of you, some of you, many of you, have heard my story before. I came into this program for the first meeting in 1969. I was 27 years old. I'm going to be 75 in August. So that gives you an idea of how long I've been around this program. I am an old timer. So I'm just going to go briefly say what it was like. In 1969, I had two kids. I had stopped weighing at 200. And I had tried, everything. Pills, shots, doctors, Weight Watchers, all kinds of things. And my mother had been trying to fix me my whole childhood. It was very embarrassing to her that I was overweight. And she was always trying different methods with me. And I certainly tried after I left home. I got married when I was 18, had my first child at 19. So I had two sons at that point. I had never heard the term compulsive eater, but in 1969, I somehow heard about OA and went to a meeting. It was in a church. There was an alcoholic speaker because there were no, in those days, we didn't have people with long-term abstinence, so we would have people from AA come and speak at meetings. And so there was this AA speaker who was talking about God. For one thing, I didn't believe in God, and I just wanted to lose weight. And so, they were talking about working the steps, they were talking about all kinds of things that I was definitely not interested in. So it took me a year to go back to OA, and what convinced me was that I had started seeing a therapist who was very charismatic, and she said, I could fix your problem, but your problem is that you eat like an alcoholic drinks. And that was pretty amazing. That was kind of a light bulb for me, because then I went, oh, now I get why, people from AA were speaking in OA meetings. And I do eat like an alcoholic drinks. I really can't stop. And so ultimately, I did go back to OA. And so in the first year, I lost about 50 pounds just working step one, just coming to meetings, just, the adrenaline alone of losing weight and all of the, ego stuff that comes up. I had never been really relatively thin in my adult life, so it was pretty powerful ego-wise, and it was also making me crazy. My ex-husband was very jealous. There was a lot of stuff going on in our marriage that was not good. I started to eat compulsively again, but I wouldn't tell anybody about it. I grew up with a mother who was really good at not telling the truth. She liked to elaborate, is what she called it. And she would, I was her only child, and she would ask me, when we were with other people, to substantiate her lies, to confirm them. So it was very crazy making. But I saw that that's the way she coped and survived in life, and that's how I coped and survived in life. I never talked about anything that was true about my feelings and certainly not about my compulsive eating. So even in program, I didn't want people to know that I was eating compulsively, but it was starting to get difficult to maintain that because I was eating compulsively only on the weekends. And then it started to get more and more out of control. People were asking me to speak at meetings, and I was lying about it. And then I went away for a weekend with my kids because my ex-husband was drinking really heavily, and it was really difficult to be around him. And that was the biggest binge that I had had that weekend. And when I came back, I called up a sponsor, and I said, okay, here's the truth. I can't stop eating compulsively. And she said, oh, okay, let's work the rest of the steps. So that was the beginning of that. I lost the rest of, you know, I lost about 65, 70 pounds, and I maintained it for a while. In the meantime, my ex-husband and I got divorced. My kids were 8 and 11 at that point. And to make a long story short, I got into another relationship, which was really toxic, and I couldn't talk about that. In the meantime, we moved to Northern California. And when that happened, I stopped going to meetings. And so I put back on about 25 pounds, but it was about the lowest bottom I've ever hit. Because once you've been abstinent and you know what that feels like, it's pretty hard to do it with the glorious abandon that I once used to do it. If there ever was that, really. I don't think there ever was. I stopped going to meetings. And put on about 25 pounds. And then the good thing was I got into Al-Anon. the relationship I was in was really not good, and I needed help. And I was very codependent, and Al-Anon really helped me a lot. And the person who was my Al-Anon sponsor said, you need to go back to OA. And so I went to my first meeting in 1980 again. And I'd been away from the program for about 2 years. In 1980, I went to my first meeting in Terra Linda. There was a woman at that meeting who had just completed 21 days of abstinence. And at that particular meeting, it was encouraged that if you had 21 days of abstinence, you should become a sponsor, at least a food sponsor. There was more of that in those days. And so I asked her to be my sponsor. She was absolutely great. She's not around the program anymore, but she got me. I committed my food to her every day. I never said anything about my history in OA. That's my way of dealing with life. I don't talk about my past. So then people didn't know that I had had all this history in OA. They thought I was a newcomer just like everybody else. But it really helped me at that point. It really served me to get abstinent again. And I've been abstinent since 1980, ever since. I think what I want to talk about is the spiritual part of the program. What makes this program different from all other food programs, and that I know of anyway? I mean, I know there's another one besides us, but there wasn't for a long time, that had a spiritual component. And for me, the people who stick around and the people who have long-term abstinence have a spiritual connection and have worked through all the steps. I can't stress how important it is. I could not have gotten abstinent on my own. I could not have stopped eating compulsively. I am a compulsive eater and will always be one. So food, I'm still one bite away from compulsive eating. But what saved my life was making a decision to turn my will and my life over to a power greater than myself. When I came into this program, I had no faith in God. I had no belief in God. So it took, a lot of research and investigation to find a concept of a God that would work for me. The one that I grew up with was punishing. And the word that stuck out in my mind was the word that is used in the second tradition, a loving God. that really was a powerful message for me. If I had a concept of a higher power, is that 10 minutes? Well, if I had a concept of a higher power that was loving, that higher power would want me to be what the program promises, happy, joyous, and free. It meant not that I had to be passive. It meant I had to cooperate with that. I think of my relationship with my higher power as a partnership. I need to do the footwork. So it means I am going to have to, when things happen in my life, and believe me, you know, I've been around a long time, a lot of stuff has happened in my life. You know, life is not always fun. Life means illness and death and divorce for me, a number of divorces, and, you know, a lot of painful stuff. But we have painful stuff happening. The little stuff that happens is the stuff we eat over. It's not always the big stuff. It's the little stuff that happens every day. I am the worst with tech stuff. I get so pissed off when my phone doesn't work or the internet doesn't work, or, you know, that's the stuff that will, you know, I could eat over. My deal with my higher power is that I'll cooperate, that I will get through my emotions. And the good part is that it took time, but I've discovered they pass. And then I'm still abstinent. And then maybe because I'm clear-headed, I've been able to think about and find solutions to problems that I could never have found on my own. And I really believe deeply that because I have a connection with a higher power, I can be in touch with my intuitive self. And I think the messages that I need come from that part of me. If I am eating compulsively, I'm dead to that stuff. I don't want to hear anything else except my compulsion to eat and all of the stuff that the committee in my head is talking about. So in order to stop that committee, I have to do the footwork. I have to work the steps. I have to do a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth step. The first three steps are wonderful. I do believe if people are struggling with abstinence, they need to go back to the second step and find a concept of a higher power that really works for you, that you really can believe in and trust, because we got to surrender. There's no alternative, for me anyway. I have to surrender to that. But I did find, over time, a concept of a higher power that was loving, that I could connect with, and that it would allow me to get through whatever I got through, whatever I needed to get through. And, you know, it led me to things that I could never have imagined would be possible for me. I had a wonderful career. I have a wonderful relationship with my two adult sons and my grandchildren. And all of that is required working the steps. All of that is required working on those relationships and doing intuitively what my higher power has led me to change. I think a lot of us spend a lot of time speeding ourselves up because we're not doing it right enough or good enough, or we're not working the tools enough, or we're not, you know, whatever the criticism is, and I grew up with so much of it in my head. I need to stop those voices. I need to let go of what is not working for me anymore. And those critical voices do not work. I mean, I can tell you in raising kids that criticism does not work. It doesn't help. It doesn't change the behaviors we want to change in them or in ourselves. What does change, what does allow me to change, is acceptance. Acceptance of the fact that I'm a compulsive eater and always will be. Acceptance of the fact that I don't always behave or act in the way that I think is the most admirable. And I have to write 10 steps and I have to ask God to lift my defects of character. That doesn't change. I'm going to keep on working on this stuff for the rest of my life. But I also know, having been around the program a long time, that it works if we're willing to work it. This is not an easy program. It's not for everybody. And I have friends who I adore who are struggling with weight issues who cannot work this program, who say it is not for them. And I believe them. I think it takes rigorous honesty. I think it takes hard work. But for me, there's no other place to go. The benefits are humongous. What do I want to say? That's time, right? I'm going to read one more thing, and then I'm going to stop. Because I always read it at the end of my shares. It's page 206 in the For Today, and I guess the date that I wrote this was in 2008. It says, this is me now. I will probably never understand exactly what happened to me when I came to Overeaters Anonymous. I have no frame of reference for surrender or spiritual awakening. These events, which happen simultaneously, constitute by far the most beautiful experience of my life. The gifts placed before me in the wake of this experience are equally mysterious. I am unshakably abstinent. I go through all the ups and downs of my life without having to eat over anything. That in itself is miracle enough, but there is more. Each one of the promises of the Big Book is coming true. God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. It is all an incomparably beautiful mystery. And then for today, I celebrate the miracle of my new life in OA. One more thing. I never talked about food plans. I never talked about any of the things I do to stay abstinent. And maybe that's what people want to talk about. But I really felt the need to talk about the spiritual part of the program today. Thank you all.
We'll now pass the basket to observe the seventh tradition.